For the excellence of your name is mighty and wonderful, Yahweh. So we assemble here in the tabernacle to bless you and to praise you. We bow in your presence to esteem you. We bow in your presence to worship you. We come before you, our precious Most High, to acknowledge your sovereignty, the power that you possess that no one has possessed. We thank you for your mighty hand of deliverance, as you have made us free from every shackle and bondage of sin. Now there's a driven desire and a force in the heart to disavow and disobey Torah teaching. But by the power of HaKodash Ruah, you cause the heart of true Yisrael to seek you diligently, to search their own love, the heart, to see if there be anything that is wicked and that is corrupt, that cause them to walk contrary to Torah teaching. You have sent forth the excellence of your Ruah in Yahshua HaMashiach to show us the power of your truth, where a man will set his heart to do all things to please you. For he is our example. He is the sure hope of the house of Israel. We do not have to walk contrary. We do not have to walk in our own will or understanding. But he came to bring revelation, Yahshua, to the power and the living strength of Torah. Your government, your excellence, your power to rule, your power to instruct, your power to reveal unto Israel your mighty strength, who you are, your purpose for us, your desire for Israel, that it may cause the heart of true Israel to rejoice continuously, to know what Yahweh has done. Call 8 people that were in possession of nothing, had no mighty strength, yet it was the power of your Torah, your covenants, that gave Israel strength. And it is your covenant blessing with the true house of Israel that gives them strength and power to overcome and power to resist the powers of darkness. We pray for the house. We pray for the seed of the remnant of Israel, of the woman, that you bless them in every part of the world, in every nation, every country, regardless of the situations, the perplexities of trials, the hardship, the pain of afflictions and suffering. I pray for Israel. I pray that their mind will be open, and that the heart of Israel will be open to understand the purpose of Yahweh for his seed, his children, that he has purposely elected according to his magnificent power. He has chosen Israel and place his Torah written in the inward parts of their heart, their mind. And they live daily with a great delight in knowing that they please Yahweh. Touch your people, I pray. Give them strength, assurance in this hour, as the enemy wars against their mind, the integrity of truth, as men battle against it, to cause the mind of the weak and the feeble to go astray. I ask you to strengthen everyone, and cause the resolve love in their hearts to be established by the hearing of your truth. That faith arise in their heart, that they will not give in to the drawing of the world and the seduction of darkness that has brought many men under the change and the bondage of it, whereby their mind is not free, their thoughts are not free to think upon the lovely things of Yahweh and the beauty of Almighty Yahweh. They are relegated. They are brought down to carnal thinking. Minds oppressed and suppressed. Depression and worration. Doubts and fears. Trepidation and all kinds of thoughts that lead them astray from the truth of our Abba. I pray for the need of your people, whatever the need, Yahweh, above all spiritually, that they may be filled with the power of HaKodesh Ruah, the power to lead them, the power to show them, the power to instruct them, Yahweh, that there will be a love for your truth and a love for you to govern them by your instructions and your direction. I pray for them. We pray for the shalom of Jerusalem and for your people there, those that are truly the elect, the seed of Yisrael. We pray for the shalom of that city, for you said you will prosper those that bless Jerusalem. And so we bless Jerusalem, we bless your name, and we thank you for the mighty power and the works of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We bless you and bless the order of the service. We pray that we may sing to honor you, and that the simplicity of this truth tonight will find the place in the heart of true Israel. We ask all things in the mighty name, Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. And all the people of Yahweh cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Come on, if you believe that, lift your hands and shout, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Thank you, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
For we know that you are able, our precious Abba. Not only are you able, but you are willing. And not only are you willing, our precious Abba, but as the old Kiddushans would say, we know that you can. You have purposed it in your own hearts to give us an expected end. That is one of shalom. Just as we gather in this midweek service, we bless you, Yahweh, and we thank you. We ask you to anoint your manservant that the simplicity of this truth may be spoken to the house of Israel. And those that have ear, let them hear. We bless you tonight. We esteem you and we exalt you. And all the people of Yahweh cry, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Look at your neighbor and say, Yahweh blesses you. Good to see you, my brother. Yahweh bless you all. You may be seated. Hallelujah, Yahweh. It's a wonderful thing to know the simplicity of truth in a time and a generation where everything is so complex today. It's a complex generation. The mindset today cannot rationalize the simplicity of Yahweh's truth. It cannot understand what Yahweh requires of man. And all of his requirements are based upon truth. He made man. He understands the disposition of man. And he knows what man can do. And he realized that in the express power of truth, in the body of Yahshua HaMashiach, that we can do all things through the witness of that message, through Yahshua, and the strength of that truth, Because that is what gives us strength to obey Yahweh. That is why we are going to be without any kind of excuse. We're not going to be able to reason with Yahweh. None whatsoever. We're not going to be able to say to Him, I would have if I could have, but I did not because of this. It will not work. He has given us everything that we need in this dispensation of time and in this life to live a life that is circumspect before Him. A life that is pleasing. A life that loves Him. A life that honors Him. And that everything we do will please Him. He gives us instruction in Scripture. And what Yahshua spoke in the renewed or the revelation of Torah, what He did, He gave us the understanding of the beauty and the power of life in Torah. The reason we don't understand the simplicity of it is because the mind is carnal. It is fleshly. It doesn't naturally gravitate to the things of Yahweh. If we notice our own thinking process, it will always gravitate to things that are just superficial. They're not real. They will not present any advantages for you at all. And so what our mind is given over unto, it never strengthens us in the natural sense at all. That is why we can do all things that please Yahweh through Yahshua HaMashiach, because He gives us strength in the life of Torah power. Torah is what? It is what Yahweh commands and instructs us that our lives will be representative of His kingdom. It is His power to govern. It is power to instruct us. It is His rightful place to show us what is expected of us and what will come about if we obey Him. If we obeyed Him, our lives would be fruitful. There would be an abundance of fruit in our lives. We will be overextended with the joy of Yahweh, with the gladness, with His love. But our lives are very shallow because the power of Torah or His truth has not been revealed in the inward parts. And the reason why? Because we allow this natural mind to process what Yahweh says. And you cannot allow that natural mind to process what Torah teaches. That is why you have so many kinds of stipulations today. That's why you have so many variations of doctrines and things that are not even relative to doctrine teaching. Because the natural mind cannot process the dynamics of the truth of Yahweh. That is why Shaul tells us to let, to permit that mind of HaMashiach to be in us as well. And the only way we're going to know we have that mind, that all of our actions and everything we do will be to please Yahweh. It will be to make Him ecstatic and to cause His heart to be glad. So if our actions and our deeds are not to please Him, we will know we're not walking in the same mind and in the same conscience of Yahshua. We're walking in a mindset that is sensual. A mindset that is devilish. A mindset that is wicked. Because it is consumed with me, myself, and I. That is not the mind of Yahshua. Nor was the mind of Shaul and the Cilicians, the apostles of HaMashiach. For He taught them the excellent words of Torah. That is all He could have taught them. He did not come with some new form of doctrine. And that's all we find today, isn't it? Some new forms of doctrines that must be translated, transliterated, because we don't have the mind of Yahshua HaMashiach. We have a natural mind that is segregated from Torah, from the disciplines of Yahweh. from the statutes, the ordinance. And those are the things that bring us constantly to the presence of Yahweh. And if our mind is not given over unto that, then it has to be given over unto a sensual, worldly appetite. And that kind of mindset brings in a segregation or a deep divide with us and Yahweh. And so when we want to sense the power of His Ruah in us, we sense the powers of darkness, of depression and oppression and doubt and wandering. And that is not what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to walk in the light of Torah as we understand what Torah teaches. And that is simply His instructions. HaMashiach came to instruct the people and what Yahweh required of them. He did not come to give them some kind of strange form of a doctrine. Because He read from the scrolls. He read from Yeshaya and Obadiah. He read from Bereshit and Deuteronomy and Devarim. That is what He read from. His teaching was from the scroll, from the book. It was not some kind of philosophical or imaginative type of doctrine that He taught. And so what we have today, we have a doctrine or doctrines that have been presupposed or established by the mind of man and not by the revelation of truth. And people are bound, they're under bondage, they cannot be made free to do the simple things that Yahweh requires us to do. What He commands us to do is not difficult. It will break the will and the shackles of the flesh, but it will never break a man's heart to love Yahweh. It will never do that. Because our natural mind opposes Yahweh, and it constantly, that is why it must be brought, subjected to the law of the Ruah, the Spirit of Yahweh. It must be brought, subjected to that law. And the only way it's going to be brought, subjected to that law, it must understand the implicit requirements of Yahweh. We must understand what He requires. We must know what He expects of us. And once we understand that, the power of Yahweh, His Ruah, it enlightens us, or it causes that to come alive to enrich us. And we become rich and wealthy with the health of Yahweh. The reason we don't have that is because the Torah is not a living Torah. It is a letter. It is something that we read like the Yodims. They read it, but it had no power of life in them. So there was no expression of love for it to do it, not because the letter said do it, but because there was a great love for Yahweh. Because that we were inspired by Him. Because of knowing His great love inspires us. And because we're inspired by Him, we take great pleasure in what He commands us to do. It is not a burdensome thing. It doesn't cause us to be burdened down or heavy or yoked down. It doesn't do that. That's why HaMashiach tells us, first of all, to learn of Him. To learn how He walked. To learn how He carried Himself. To learn how He presented Himself unto the Abba. He said, learn of Me because My yoke is easy now. And My burden or the purpose of Yahweh is light. It's not as difficult as you have thought it out to be. You have made it difficult because you have injected your own thoughts and your own schisms into that. So you make it complex. You make it worse. And then you get the opinion of another and then it makes it even worse. And He always says, I will give you instructions according to My purpose that I have ordained. I've established for you, and then knowing that, you will do all things to please Me. And once we learn how to please Yahweh, once we learn how to please Yahweh, then we will please one another. Now, I know that we have heard the phrase or that use, that I will not please any man, I will please Yahweh. Well, you cannot please Yahweh unless we please one another. I want to deal with that tonight. And I want to show us the emphasis of that. And what Yahweh is trying to convey to his people. I want to begin in Corinthians. Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I want to begin at verse 32. And I want you to understand that resko in the Greek vernacular, because I want to, in this simple teaching tonight, preaching, to give us some understanding of what pleasing one another truly is. We have had an interpretation of that that is based upon our own ignorance to what Scripture says. Because we don't know what Scripture says, we don't understand the will of the Abba, then we say things because it is something that we have heard, and we just hold fast to those sayings, but it's not according to Scripture. I want to begin in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Shaul says, he says, give no offense. Do not be offensive neither to the Yodin, nor to the nations or the heathens, nor to the Israelite congregation. Now this is what he says in verse 33. Even as I please no men, he says, I please all men. Oresko. I please all men. Now that is what he says. Now we must understand, and I will show us, Shaul does not contradict himself. We must understand what he is saying here. He says, and though I will accommodate all men, and though I will give myself to accommodate the heathens, all they do not know the message of this profound revelation of Yahshua. He said, I will give myself to whatever extreme it takes to accommodate, to rescue, to please men. Now, we don't practice that in our lives. We do not practice accommodating one another. We do not care about pleasing one another. He said, I will, even as I rescue all men or please all men in some things, in all things, according to truth. Now, that doesn't mean that men will not despise you or reject you. But Shaul says, I please all men in all things, whether it is the Yodim, the congregation of the Israelite brothers, or whether it is the heathen nations of the world, I accommodate, I give myself, I surrender myself for the use of my brothers and even heathens, because there is a purpose for doing that. It is a purpose. It brings about a soundness of humility. It brings about a soundness of meekness. We are a people that love to fight. We are a people that love to battle. I am not talking about in the spiritual realm. We love to battle in the natural realm. We are a people that's defensive. And Shaul says, give no offense that your brother or the heathen will have to put up a defense to you. We do things like that. We're very defensive. And we're very offensive. And Shaul said, I please all men. I'll accommodate them. Whatever it takes, I will accommodate them. Do we literally express what Scripture says? Do we try to accommodate truly our brothers and our sisters? Are we antagonistic or we are agitators? Do we do those things? It may not be consciously. And the reason we are not aware of that is because we are not aware of ourselves. We are not aware of what's in us. We don't know what's in our inward parts. So he said, I please all men in all things. Why? Because I am not seeking my own gain. When a man is willing to please one, he is not seeking his own gain. And the mindset of this nation and the people, they're seeking their own gain. Well, what can I get out of the whole thing? What is my measure? What can I gain from the situation? When one seeks to please a brother or sister or even a stranger, they are not looking at what they're going to receive out of it. They're looking at what it will, how it will bless the heart of Yahweh. And so that is why many will say, or this is a generation that says, I will not, if I please man, I cannot please Yahweh. Well, first of all, they're taking the scripture out of context. We must understand what Shaul was saying when he said that, and I will get to that. But he said, I please all men, I accommodate all men. I know that they are heathens. I know that those that like the certain amount of understanding that I do like, but I will please all men. I will accommodate them. Because I am not seeking something for my own gratification. I'm doing this that Yahweh may be well pleased. That my life may be one of humility, that I may be humble, that I will not resist the charge of Yahweh. The reason I tell you that, because Yahshua did all things to please the above. How can we say we love Yahweh or when we don't even love our brothers or our sisters? So how can we truly please Yahweh unless we please one another, knowing that we have the Ruah, the same spirit that quickened Yahshua? We have the same spirit. This is a generation that practices displeasing. This is a generation that goes about in resentments. Is that one that wants to please anyone? Well, I don't believe that. Well, we will see what Scripture says, okay? We will see if I'm basing this upon a false analogy or false spiritual assumption, or it's based upon Scripture. And it's going to be based upon Scripture. He said, I please all men in all things. Why? Because I seek not my own gain, but the gain of many. I seek the welfare of others. I seek the comfort of others. Do we actually practice that? Is this generation truly practicing that? Is this the generation that actually seeks the gain? This is the generation that become very furious and very jealous when they sense that someone has gained something that they do not have. When they sense that someone has an elegance or a power or a spirit to elaborate or to dispense or to give, or to care, to be compassionate. It's not a generation that will retrieve or take from that spirit of another. It's a generation that will resist that and reject that because they are all seeking their own gain. Shaul says, I know that I can please all brothers because whatever I do, it is not for my advantage. I do not care what it is not for my advantage to be honored or esteemed, to be lifted up above my brother. He said, that is not my purpose. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to see what I can amass or see what I can gain. And most of the times in the mindset of this generation, we do things that we may get recognition, that others may see us, that they can identify that with me. Shaul says, I don't do it for that purpose. That's not the reason. And that's why I can please all men, because it is not some self-gratifying purpose. And this generation or the people today cannot do that because it must gratify them for the moment or satisfy them. And it is something that is a passing type of a spirit for the moment. And that's why they're not willing. There's no purpose in their heart to do that. So he said, it is not because I'm seeking my own. I am not. He said, it is not for my own gain, but the gain or the profiting of many. They will profit because I seek to please them. I seek to deal with them, the circumstances, and to show them things what Torah teaches, and to bring about a great understanding of the great purpose of Yahshua HaMashiach. That they may understand the life and the power of Torah. Even those that are the congregation of Israel, and those that practice the Yehudaism, and those that are heathens or the nations that have no light of understanding of what Yahweh speaks to His people. He says, not my purpose, it's not my gain. Why does He do that? He said that they might or that they may be saved. That they may be delivered from their own shackles, from their own bondages. It is not the shackles of others that bind you. It is the shackles of your own sinful, transgressing of the Torah that binds you from a prayerful life, from a life of thanksgiving, from a life of thankfulness, from a life that exudes or lift up Yahweh, and to express the mighty works that He has done in you. I was talking with a brother today from Syracuse, New York, and he said, "You know, Pastor Roberts, when I hear that name, it does something to me." I said to him, "Brother, if you want to see Pastor Roberts shout or dance, let us discuss that name and the beauty of Yahweh. Let us discuss Him. Let us talk about Him." So Shaul says, "Everything I do, I please men, that they may know the deliverance of Almighty Yahweh, that they may know the power of Yahweh to make them free from the shackles and the religious bondages that have captivated them and hold them in prison. So regardless to who the man is, I will not seek what I can gain from him. I will seek to please the man, assist to accommodate him. I will assist to be well with him, to be a refresher to him, to refresh the man's heart, to cause him to be enlightened, to cause his desire to be catapulted, that there may be a driven desire to know the purpose and the will of Yahweh. A generation that seeks only self-gratification, it never knows how to please. And everything in this generation, it is momentarily. It is just for the moment. It is a sugar shot of pleasure just for the moment, and then is soon evaporated. Shaul says, "What I do, it gives a great sense of gain to them, because I know that the message of HaMashiach, the express truth of Yahweh, is being expressed. So I seek to accommodate all men, regardless to their situation or circumstance. I seek to accommodate them. I seek to make sure that there's a wealth imparted unto them, that they may have a great understanding of Torah." And we need that. And we should seek to please one another. We should do that. We should do that. We don't practice that because we're looking for our own gain. He says, "Not for my gain, but it's for the heathen. It's for the Yardim brother. It's for the Yisraelite brother. Because they may know the marvelous power and the works of Yahweh." Well, Pastor Roberts, that doesn't give me any solid type of reason that I should do that. Well, he goes on to say, turn back to the 7th chapter of Corinthians. "Now there are those that will deny the very expressed teachings of Shaul, and those that reject renewed covenant, but I will not. It is the express power of living Torah. It is the power of Torah renewed in the life of man, Yisrael." Now look at what Shaul says in Corinthians chapter 7 verse 32. He says, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to Yahweh, how he may please Yahweh." Now that is the truth, because there are no impediments. There's nothing that encumbered him or she to love Yahweh, but they can care for the things of Yahweh. "But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, of the cosmos, how he may please," is that what it says? "How he may please his wife." Now we know that the wife is of the man. "How he may please his man." He says there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. "For the unmarried woman cares for the things of Yahweh, that she may be kodesh both in body and in ruah. But she that is married now cares for the things of the cosmos, the olam, how she may please her husband." Now, I ask you a question. Now, if a woman cares for how she must please, rescue her husband, to accommodate him, to satisfy him, to do things that are acceptable, favorable, pleasurable unto him, that's what Scripture says. Now, listen, brothers and sisters. A true husband will seek those things. He will understand those things that it takes to please his wife. That's Scripture. And a wife will want to be taught. That is why Scripture warns the elderly sisters to teach the young daughters how to please their husbands. And so you teach them how to please, to show them favor, to accommodate them, to make oneself acceptable. And in the most archaic form, it simply means this. Can I tell you? Will you believe me? It simply means this in the archaic form. It means to show great kindness. To show great kindness. Now that is what pleasing is. To show great kindness. Got quiet on that one, didn't we? It's one thing that we do not do. The enemy has snared our minds because we do not go beyond that which confront us through our eyes. What we see, we just receive it that way. We don't understand what peripheral is, or what's to the left, or what's to the right. He always wants us to have peripheral. And that is what the Ruah does. It gives us peripheral. It gives us vision that we see all around. So it is a state of tremendous kindness. Every wife, you that are married, do you not want your husband to be kind to you? Husband man, is it not so that you want your wife to be kind? And so as Shaul speaks here, what he is saying, you ought to be kind to your brothers and your sisters. You ought to be kind to the stranger. You ought to do all things to please. And your kindness, it is a great strength unto them. And not only to them, but it strengthens your heart. It doesn't elevate you in some kind of arrogant or prideful manner. But it simply causes you to delight in what Scripture commands you to do. You do with a great delight. And that ought to be the heart of the people of Yahweh. That ought to be in the heart of the people of Yahweh. But we are people that are truly set to defend, to fight, to resist, to use force. And that is not what Yahweh wants. He wants us to rasa, to show that great acceptable kindness and that tenderness. And to please one another, simply that to please each other. Isn't it awful pleasant when there are circumstances that accommodate you and give you a sense of comfort? Does that please you? When there are things that you sense that are fitting for you, does that please you? Sometimes you get a little smile out of that, won't you? Now that's what Yahweh is telling us. Shaul, as HaMashiach, is our example. We must consider what he did. He gave to the fullness, to the end, that he may give us a sure hope of salvation. He did not defy Torah, nor did he reject the strength of Torah. But it was the power of his life. It was the strength of his being. And it was the assurance to Israel and us in this generation that everything he did pleased Yahweh. The Torah, Yahweh's instructions are given to us to please him. He gives us an instruction in the mitzvah to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Can I ask you a question? You answer it in your own land. Do you do things to please you? You do things to please you. Do you love you? So if you love you like you love your neighbor, why would you not please your neighbor? Are you kind to you? Are you overbearing on you? No, you're not. We're not overly bearing on ourselves. We may rebuke ourselves and get upset at ourselves, but we have the tenacity or the spirit to forgive ourselves very easily. We have the ability to forget our infractions against ourselves very easily, don't we? But we don't have the ability to forgive our brothers and sisters when their infractions are against us, do we? As the preacher would say, come on here, somebody. You might as well. Every word that Yahweh speaks, it cuts to our heart. I don't care what it is. It actually shows us what's in us. I don't care how you preach it. Everything he preaches, it cuts to our heart. And if it doesn't cut, because he said his word is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. So if it doesn't cut to our hearts, then it's not the word. We need to reassess it then. We need to examine what Dave Roberts is saying. Do you understand that? We need to. And so we're not as critical upon ourselves as we are others, but we do things to please ourselves. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Husband, to love your wife as you love yourself. Shaul says, do all things to please. My brothers and my sisters, Yisrael, the congregation of the hope of Yahweh, I do all things to please them. You know, it is quite amazing because you that have worked jobs, I have, we made sure that we were very careful to do things to please the manager. Have you ever done that? I have. Because we know that promotion comes and we were looking for things for our own gain. Now those that did things that with a willingness of heart and with a purpose for the corporation or for the gain or the door stand open in the corporation, usually men or women with that zeal and intent tend to be elevated a little higher in the corporate structure than those that are just working for one sole purpose, and that is for their own gain. When one looks at the overall benefit of the corporate structure, those are the ones that tend to move rapidly throughout the corporate structure. But those that do things for their gain, when things do not materialize as they expect, you will watch their attitudes change. They get frustrated, they get angry, they began to spew resentment, and then because they are upset and they are defiled by their own bitterness, they began to speak to others, don't they? And then they want to turn everyone to that same kind of mindset. But Shaul said, I want you to have the mind that I have because it is of the mind of HaMashiach. And what this represents with a husband and the wife, a woman will seek the things that please, satisfies, accommodate, to create a favorable environment with the husband and vice versa. He will do the same. Now, if a woman will please her husband, he is a man. He is a man, is he not? Then if we say I will not please any man, then what we are saying, then the word of Yahweh, there's contradictory there. It is not contradictory. It is just the way that men understand things and the way they take things out of context and teach it or preach it. They mean well in what they do, but it's still wrong. It is still wrong. It's not right because they mean well. I have had many well intentions, but it was still wrong. It did not produce what Yahweh intended for it to produce. And we all have been caught in that fix. Our intentions may be well, but that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's the most meaningful thing. That doesn't mean that it's the thing that is going to work to the advantage of all. And when one seeks to please, it is for the advantage of all. That is the mind that Yahweh wants his people to have. Are we not one body? Would you do anything against your left arm? The matter of fact, if it hurts, you won't favor that one more, right? That airborne mind, that thing hurt. It hurts. And so I favor that when I'm lifting something because it hurts. So if we are the body, then you will do things to please your body. Is that not so? So why would we do things to bring about a displeasure to the body? We ought not to do that. Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches us to please. That's why we love our neighbor, our brother, our sisters, as we love ourselves. And we spend quite a bit of time pleasing ourselves. Whether what we eat, how we look, how we want to dress, How we want to feel. Have you ever taken a nice warm shower, bath, and it was so pleasing? It refreshed you. It caused life to be rejuvenated. That's what the pleasure, when we please one another, that's what it does. It caused the life of Torah teaching to be revived in us. Because Torah teaches us that if we do something against our neighbor, we break down his fence and we do something, we go tell our neighbor. It teaches us how to interact with our neighbors, our brothers. It tells us how to do those things. Will that not please the neighbor? You go to him and say, look, I did that. I'm going to repair it. I'm going to do that. And I tell you what, I'm going to give you a cow. Sure it would. And so these things have been translated into a spiritual understanding that we may understand them with a lively and a living force today. Not by something that is dead. We are not to be compelled to do anything. We ought to do it because we love Yahweh. A wife should not be compelled to love her husband. She should not be compelled to please him. But scripture says a wife now, she will do things to please her husband. That husband will do things to please his wife. Well, what are you saying, Pastor Roberts? I will show us. Shaul and everything he taught and all the things he did to please, it was never outside of the text of Torah. I will show you. It was all within the context of Torah. It was. Well, let me read this in Romans chapter 15. Yahweh shows us how we ought to behave toward those that do not have the fortitude and the strength we have. Not all men are strong. Not all women are strong. They're weak women, weak men. Now that's the truth. Everyone cannot bear. The ones that are weak, they become unnerved, they get frustrated, they get flustered. They will murmur, they will complain, they will attack, easily offended. I love you, brothers and sisters, but it's the truth. But a strong man, he hears the matter, he hears things, and then he doesn't rationalize, but he runs them through the proven test of the Ruach, the Spirit of Yahweh. And he will make the right decision. She will make the right decision. Shaul says as he directs the congregants, how to behave toward the weak. Look what he says in Romans 15:1. He said, we then that are strong, so that lets me know that there are those that are strong. Now you will know those that are strong. We that are strong are to bear, to lift up, to support the infirmities or the weakness, the inabilities of the weak. So Shaul lets me know here that there are those that are strong and those that are weak. There are strong men and weak men. There are strong women and weak women. That's just it. So those that are strong, you bear the infirmities. So a person that is strong, they are able to bear and to forbear and to endure the weakness of the weak one's attitude. Take a child. You take a child, the attitude can get raunchy. Can it not? They will speak to their parents with an indifferent tone. And parents now, they will know how to deal with that righteously. Well, why will a child do that? Because you know the child is weak. They should not have the strength of a mother or a daddy, a son. He hasn't had the experience. He hasn't been afforded life's experience to grasp and to take from life experience things that work and that things that work in life. So we that are strong ought to bear the weakness of the weak and always please ourselves. And what? And not to please ourselves. We're a self-gratifying generation, are we not? We love to please ourselves. Look what I did for my son. That pleases you, doesn't it? But if he's a true son, you will do it for the son. Well, this is my daughter. Look what I did. Look at her. Oh, I'm so proud. Well, that is one word. There are two words. When he always saved me, that I totally rejected from my vocabulary to describe me. And one is luck. I don't even use the word. And pride. Because I have no pride. Yeah. I'm a man that is certain of who I am. I have the assurance of that. But no pride. Because pride destroys a man's ability to hear. Especially from Yahweh. When a man has pride, he cannot hear. When a woman has pride, she can't hear nothing. So that I do not have. I don't deal in luck, and I don't deal with pride or haughtiness. But I'm a man that is assured, and I know who I am. I know I'm a man. I understand that. And I will not back down to that. He says, so, and not to please ourselves. So if one bears something, he does that to please the one that is not able to do it. So he gives strength to that one that is not able to do it. And even though circumstances may seem so unbearable, he or she does it not to please oneself, but to make sure that he pleases all men, that he pleases the brother, that he accommodates the brother, that he shows forth a refreshness of kindness, that he shows a brother or the sister he accepts them. That's what it means. That's what it means. We tend to, in our vernacular, we tend to hear words and we all associate definitions and meanings to them without thoroughly searching it. The brother from Syracuse, New York, called me. He's called me before. It's a strange kind of job the man does. I do want to tell you this. He works with doctors and physicians. And what he does, he is a translator or an interpreter of numerology in things that doctors write to translate that to patients or to people or Latin. I do not want anyone working on me if he cannot speak forthright and tell me what he is doing. If I need someone in between us for someone to tell me what this man is saying, now that alone ought to frighten you. And so I said to my brother, I said, brother, in our vernacular, because he said, Pastor Robert, I want you to do a little research. He called me before on the word virgin, because it means this and that. I say, my brother, I say, well, it depends on how the word is used. It can be used as a noun, or it can be used as an adjective. I said, I can say this in the sense of using the word virgin. I can say that David Roberts is a virgin that is ignorant, he's stupid, he's unlearned, and he doesn't possess the quality of knowledge to understand certain specifics. I say, in that text as an adjective, it is applicable. You can use it that way, but that doesn't mean that it has a derogative connotation to it because you use it in that context of a sentence, my brother. He said, I hadn't thought about it that way. I said, okay, you just don't listen to me, brother, all right? Now, I'm saying that to say this because that is the way we are taught. And that is the way we do things. And so we express word meaning in the vernacular or in the mindset we've been trained to do that. And so we hear the word please, I won't please nobody. Well, I want to do what Shaul did. Did he not walk in the dynamic system of Yahweh? Did he not walk in the power of Yahweh? If he pleased all men, then I want to do that. I want to have that same fervor of fire and that same ruah that Shaul had. I want to do that. So we bear the infirmities of the weak, those that are weak, their brothers that are weak, their sisters that are weak. You bear them up, and it is not to please you. It is not to please ourselves because we're doing that. We're doing that to please them. We do all things as unto Yahweh. And so everything we do, it pleases Yahweh. If this is my brother, I please him. I'm doing that as unto Yahweh. If this is truly my sister, my mother, I do things unto her that please Yahweh. Because what I do to her, if I please her, it pleases Yahweh. If this is his true seed, elect, according to his sovereign power, then if I do that, then it pleases him. Now our mindset doesn't calculate that way. Because we've been trained that. We've been trained to be selfish, to do things that please us. We don't want to do anything to please anyone else. And we are a people that don't want to do anything to please us. Because we don't want to have to remove our place and to show us what's really in us. We don't want to want to see our weaknesses and our shallowness. They're weak brothers and they're strong brothers. They're weak sisters and they're strong sisters. Scripture identifies that. He says this in verse 2. Let every one of us do what? Please who? His neighbor. Now that's what Scripture says, doesn't it? Now can we take away from that? Let every, not some, but every one of us please his neighbor for his, for this is wonderful, or it is tough, it is great to edification. That's why we're never edified. That's why we don't understand things, because we do things not to please one another. We do things to bring displeasure. And we are neighbors. Well, who is your neighbor? I got Brother Dale on this side. I got Brother Jermaine. I got Deacon Benny over here. So let us do all things to please our neighbors. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. That's what Scripture says. Does it say that? I'll read that again. Let every one of us. Now let me stop there. Was he talking to the degenerate and those that did not know Yahweh? Was he talking to the house of Israel? He was talking to the Israelite brothers. So he said, let one of us please. Please his neighbor, for this is wonderful. It is power to edification. What is edification? To be enlightened? To understand, to have a knowledge, to have a plethora and a wealth of knowledge and understanding. That's what edification is. It brings us to the realization. It brings us to the purpose. It brings us to the understanding of the thing. And without us doing that, we will never understand the purpose and the plan of Yahweh. That's why we fall short. That's why there are many weak among us. And sickly. And many are dead. They're dying spiritually. They have no power of the Ruah in them. There's no life of the Ruah in them at all. They have no emunah, no faith in Yahweh, period. And Scripture is very explicit, isn't it? That is not out of text what I'm taking, all right? I will show you. I will show you, brothers and sisters. I will show you. When Yahweh speaks a word to my heart, what I hear, I say things, and I know it's not Scripture. I want to bring it out so that we all know. When I hear people say things, or someone will call and say something, that's not Scripture. I said to my brother in New York, I said, hold up. Let us go to Scripture. Okay, let's read that. I said, like, okay, stop. Now let us see. Well, let me take you here and show you what this says. Now let us go back here and see what this says. He said, okay, I see now. True. So it's for our edification. When we please one another, when we are, when we show a kindness or a favorableness. Don't you want, it's not bad to favor one another, is it? It's good to favor each other. You favor yourself in everything. Why not favor your brother or sister? Tell me, brothers and sisters. We got a twisted mentality because the world has twisted us, so we don't know what's right to do. That's why we get offended when we hear what's right to do, because we know we're not doing it. That's why we get upset very easily, because you know you're not doing it. So let every man please his neighbor. So I got neighbors here. So let every man please his neighbor. That's what Scripture said. For this is a wonderful thing to edification. For even HaMashiach pleased himself. What is that? Are we to consider him? Are we to consider Yahshua? Are you certain of that? Because if we don't, then we're going to get weary in our minds. Are we not? And then we're going to faint. For he pleased not himself, but it as it is written. Look at this now. Well, he didn't please us. Come on, brothers and sisters. But as it is written, the reproach of them, who? Us. The shamefulness of our ways and our deeds and our actions, the reproach of them that reproach you fell on me. The reproach fell on HaMashiach. Our weakness, our infirmities, our inability to do right. So it fell on him. It fell on her. Does that please you that it fell on him? Sure does. It pleased me. I'm glad he pleased me. So he pleased us. We have had a misunderstanding of Scripture. And that is what is out there today. That's why there are so many doctrines today. That's why there are so many that say they have the words of life and they have death out of their mouths. It doesn't bring forth life, because it's one thing that life does. It's one thing that you know that life is when it comes. Can I share an example? I've never been in the homes of anyone delivering babies. Don't want to. But it's one thing that you know that the life is there. It begins with what? Say it. What? Say it loud. Cut. 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 And his word cuts. You know there's life in you with this. You know the power of his life. It cuts. You did not know that little thing was alive until they cut it, tied the cord, and then spanked that butt, and then, or whatever, it began to cry. That's the seal and the power of life, the cutting. The cutting. And so we know we have the power of life when we're cut. Sure. He doesn't cut everyone. He just cut those that were his life. Shave them off and cut it off. So cut me, Yahweh. I want him to cut me. Even when I was under the name Jesus, when I went to service, if my pastor did not say things to cut me, he didn't preach to me. It didn't satisfy me. It was something missing. And so you know the power of life is in the body when you sever that and cut it. When there's a cut made, and then we began to see the life in the child. Is that so? Thank you, Deacon Bennett. The cut. And so it must be a cut. And he cuts us. He cuts. Doesn't he cut you and show you when you're not actually practicing and doing what he commands you to do? Yeah. Ought to make you a little shame. It does, too. You want to hide yourself sometimes on the rock, doesn't it? Well, we just hide ourselves under the wings of Almighty Yahweh. That's our refuge. Hallelujah. Well, it's all right to get under the rock, too, because how much is the rock of Gibraltar? It's all right to hide yourself under the rock. Hallelujah. Well, because I cannot withstand the storms of my own strength. And my own ability, I cannot do that. And so that's why Yahweh sends forth the living wind. Shows us what's in us. And I'm glad too. The wind would blow away all that shaft and trash. It blows it away. So he sends forth the living wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he pleased not himself, but as it written, the reproach, our sins, and the reproach of our unrighteousness was upon Hamashiach. And he did all things to please us, to make us pleasing unto Yahweh. And that's what he did, brothers and sisters, to make us favorable. Are we accepted unto Yahweh? Now we're acceptable unto him. To make ourselves susceptible. To have the kindness. Was that not a kind thing he did? I'm glad he did it. Because I certainly could not have done that. I could not. I want to read this from Sirach. I like what it says. Just hear this. Listen to this in Sirach 20, verse 26. It says this. Listen to this. The disposition of a liar brings dishonor. Anyone that's a liar, I don't care who he or she is, it will bring dishonor. Now that is a true Michelle. That is a true Michelle proverb. That is true. A disposition or the disposition of a liar brings dishonor. And his shame is ever with him. When one lies, one does things that are wrong, the shame of that lie will always be with you, whether you believe that or not. It says this, he who speaks wisely will advance himself, and a sensible man will please great men. Now, Hamashiach talked about a great man, didn't he? He tells us that we want to be great among each other. Let us command each other and instruct each other and tell each other what to do, right? If we want to be great in the midst of the congregation, let us instruct and tell and show. To do what? To serve. So a wise man can see a great man because he knows a great man will serve, and a great man will serve the house and will be the one that will serve. So a man that is of sense, a woman that is of sense, she will please a great person. We are so corrupt in our thinking. We do not, because we think so highly of ourselves. We don't think highly, or we do not consider the welfare or the wealth of others. We think highly of ourselves. So we don't have the ability to discern what is great today. We don't have the ability to do that. Thomas Shea said, if any one of you want to be great among us, you want to be the greatest, then you serve. Learn how to serve. Serve your brother. Serve your sister. A willingness. What? Whatever it takes. So cook. Clean, wash, whatever it takes. Have a spirit of volunteerism. That, I mean, if you don't like to volunteer, is it? You got quiet, so you're guilty. You know what's in a man when you ask them a question, they get quiet. You know what's in them. That's why juries, when someone goes to trial, even though a jury will look at a man, and the judge, if he's trying the case, it will look at his actions, his expressions, his movement, and they will know whether he's guilty or not. And so surely asking someone a question they don't want to ask, I know they're guilty. You know that. And when someone with this bold defense, you know you're messing with a twisted head then. Hallelujah, way. So one that is sensible, one that is wise, will submit. One that is wise will please a man that they know to serve. They will please a great man, a great woman. They will do that. We don't do that. There were many young college students that would go to India, Calcutta, when Mother Teresa was there. And I'm talking about young women that had aspiration to be molecular biologists, and their mind was set to do these tremendous feats. And when they will go have this visitation with Mother Teresa, they will have somewhat of an epiphany. This whole transformation of their thoughts, their life. Because they saw a woman that truly served a people that had nothing to give her. She did that. Say what you will of me. Everything she did was not to please herself, but to please others. So all the money she made from speaking and her Nobel Peace Prize, the laureate, all of that went to those people of Calcutta. She slept like them. She lived like them. She had no fancy dwelling, the same clothing. She had no fancy attire. Nothing. And so even seeing things like this and seeing a woman that the world calls great today, because of her philanthropy, her willingness to serve, to help others. And there were young women that would go there. I've read stories of them. They were transformed. Their whole outlook on life tremendously changed. I met Mother Teresa when I was 22 at UCLA. And my whole life has been changed. So a wise, sensible person will please a great person. One that serves, one that has the willingness, one that has the ability to serve. They will listen to them. This is the generation that listens to no one. Children don't realize that parents serve them. Children do not realize that parents serve them. Children, this ignorant generation of children, they don't realize that parents serve them. That little girl doesn't even know how to bathe herself if it wasn't for her mother. She doesn't know what is proper. She doesn't know what is best for her. She doesn't know that. So the mother or the avat serves the child. And that's what a parent does. That is why they're great in the home. Because they serve, they're given over unto a servitude. Wash their backside, cook, clean, and do all those things. And what a parent tries to do is instill that greatness in the children. And most children, they rebel against that. Because they're not sensible. That's why they don't submit to the greatness of their parents. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. This is the truth. Hallelujah. And so a sensible man will please. It will please the great man. The great woman. The one that serves. The one that's willing. The one that will take the responsibility. That's the one that's great. That's the one that has the willingness to please one another. And that's what Yahweh wants. Now Shaul warns us in 2 Timothy, Timothy, I want to read you to hear this. 2 Timothy 2:4, he tells us, he said, no man that goes to war or goes to battle entangles, you understand what that word entangles, to become interwoven with the affairs of this life, entangle, now I want you to hear me now, entangle himself with the affairs or the activities, the affairs of this life. No man that goes to battle, No man that understands the spiritual warfare that we're in can entangle himself or to give himself over unto the affairs of this life. He cannot do that, brothers and sisters. Why? That he may please him, Yahweh, who has chosen him to be a soldier. So if you are going to please Yahweh, you cannot entangle, you cannot become a part of the activities of the affairs of this life. That's why there are very few that please Yahweh today. That's why people do not even think of pleasing Yahweh. Everything that we do in this generation, it is self-absorbed. It creates a selfishness. And though that you perceive or you choose to come into your inner circle, you don't even seek to please them. You will know you seek to please them when you serve them. Hallelujah, Yahweh. You're forthright and honest. This is not a forthright generation. It is not honest either. Period. So no man that wants to please Yahweh will become absorbed with the affairs of this life. I don't care what the affairs are. Well, because we know that the deceitful of riches and other lusts enter in, and the cares of this life, any cares, I don't care what it is, any cares that are beyond what Torah teach, the cares of this life, it chokes out the living word. And so that's why we cannot operate in the spiritual realm. We operate 99.9% of our lives in the fleshly realm. And that's why we are reaping such corruption. Because we operate in a natural realm. We must operate in a spiritual realm. The realm of life. The Ruah, it is the breath of Yahweh. We must operate in that realm. We operate in our natural realm that is not of Yahweh. Now what Shaul, I want to deal with this little aspect because you say, Pastor Roberts, you haven't touched on that. I want to touch on this. I want you to turn to Galatians 1:10. What Shaul does here, he proves to those brethren the authority of his doctrine and the power of the message of HaMashiach. And he declares unto them, as he expressed to them, what he was before this mighty conversion of Yahweh took place in his life. Now look what he says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Galatians. Now I want you to listen to this as I read it. Look what he says now. He says, for I do not. He says what? For I do now what? You tell me that's what you do now, Shaul? At first, what did he do? He compelled men. He had them bound and shackled. He said, now I persuade men. He said, for do I now persuade men? Do I persuade men? Or it is the power of Yahweh? Or Yahweh? Or do I seek to please men? Now, do you understand that? Is this my purpose set forth to please man in the light of what Yahweh has given unto you? Do I reject that? Do I say to you, Yardims, you Israelite brothers, that the Torah and the power of Yahshua, or the living hope of the Torah, is not true? That's what he's dealing with now. He's dealing with a situation whereby he's dealing with a brother or brothers that are of the same nature as Shaul. He says, now, who is this that persuades? Yahweh or me? Or do I seek? Or do I seek to please? Is that what I'm here to do? Seek to please men? For if I yet please men, listen now. For if I deny the power of HaMashiach, for if I deny the truth of HaMashiach, for if I deny this living soul, now that is what he's dealing with. He's dealing with that doctrine, with the mindset of a people. He's dealing with that. If I turn away from this to make you comfortable, then I'm nothing. Everything I do is in vain. For if I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of HaMashiach. If I seek to accommodate one's, your own opinion or your own desire. Well, I don't believe in this HaMashiach. What Shaul is saying, I'm not going to accommodate you in that issue. I'm not going to inspire your heart in that issue. He said, because if I set forth to satisfy you according to that twisted doctrine that I'm not a follower of HaMashiach. He said, I'm not going to allow you to tell me that what you are saying, that this conversion in my life did not come by Yahweh. I will not allow you to remove me from the power of the living Torah to resort back to what I once did, Shaul. You're not what you used to be. You know, my natural brother said to me one day, he said, I like you better the other way. I don't like you that way. You talking this religious stuff and the salvation stuff. I like you better that way. Now that is what they were saying to Shaul. Come on, just go back and be my friend. Shaul says, no, I cannot reject this truth to satisfy a corrupt desire. I will not do that. I will teach you this and show you what it says. I will seek to please you and show you the pleasure of what Yahweh has manifested in the hope of Yahshua. If he meant that, then what he said before I've read, it is all contradictory. This is what he was dealing with. He was dealing with a doctrine. He was dealing with a mindset, brothers and sisters. He was not dealing with the fact that we please one another. He was not dealing with the fact that a man pleases his wife or wife pleases her husband. He was dealing with the fact that, look, you will not remove me away from this profound truth in HaMashiach. Let me move a little farther. He says in verse 11, see, if we read the verses, we get a good understanding. He said, but I certify you, look what he calls them. Are they brothers? He says, brothers, brethren, that the message which was preached of me is not after me. So what he was dealing with, they were saying, this is not you, Shaul. Give us something different. And what he said to them, what I'm preaching to you, come on, brothers. It is not something that I have composed. It is not something that I've made up. This is not what I'm able to deliver. You all know that. So if I seek to please you in the form of things, it's what he was implying. He said, I'm not a follower of HaMashiach. I'm not. And I'm a follower of Yahshua. He says, so I certify, I let you know, brothers, this message which I preach, which is preached to me, is not after man. He said, for neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yahshua HaMashiach. See, it's all about the message that Shaul was preaching. He said, now I'm not going to regress from this truth to please you. So you don't deny Torah to please anyone. If husband wants to do something against Torah, you don't do that to please husband. If wife wants to do something against Torah, you do not change Torah to please them. You do not change the living power of Torah to please someone. And if you don't know what Torah says, you go to the book and learn what it says about every situation, because it deals with every situation. Birth, pregnancy, death, sons, daughters, rebellious ones, witchcraft. It deals with everything that we deal with in life. So he was trying to certify to brothers that this message, it is not something that I have composed. I'm not the author of it. He said this came by the revelation on that Damascus road of HaMashiach. And the Torah, these letters and the great writings of Torah, it became alive. It became real. I could see beyond my focus. I had a peripheral of what Yahweh was doing and what His magnificent power encompass. So if I seek to please you to reject HaMashiach, I will not do that.